Bump music there. We're back. This is What Really Happened show. I'm Ryan Dawson, subbing for Mike Rivero, and I apologize. It is 5:30 in the morning in Japan, so I had a little mental lapse there. It was the TFX fighter jet that I was talking about between Boeing and General Dynamics. And, you know, what I want to point out is in 61, General Dynamics had lost about $170 million, which it, at that time was a lot of money. It's still a lot of money, and they needed this contract. And their president, Frank Pace, had been Army Secretary from 50 to 53, but they kind of lost him. He wasn't in charge anymore. And then they had a friend in Fred Korth. He was the Secretary of the Navy. And he used to work for a bank, but anyway. I can't remember the name. But the big guy they had was Roswell Gilpatrick, and he was a New York banker who was the Deputy Secretary of Defense in 62. And he'd been the chief counsel for General Dynamics. So you can see the revolving door there. And it's just a contest of, you know, who has more guys on the inside or what. And Kennedy ended up giving them the contract, not because he thought it was a better plane, but because he and McNamara had mapped out areas of the country where they were all building different parts for this plane that ended up not even working, just based on creating jobs, you know, purely for re-election purposes. But, I just wanted to point that out. Art, are you still there? Sorry to make you hold through the breaks in my rants, but...
Yes.
Yes, so... yeah, we were talking about General Dynamics as well.
Yeah, I wanted to point out another thing. Who is the job czar for Obama?
I don't know.
His name is Jeff Immelt, the chief executive officer of General Electric. Okay? And there was a... story on a History Channel on TV where they called it Story of Us. They talk about history of America. And they go back around 1900, and you show there's a little company called J.P. Morgan, which was identified as a proxy for the Rothschild banking interests. And they showed after the competition for the Niagara Falls power contract that was lost by GE and Edison, that GE was taken over by J.P. Morgan. So the ones who built the plant in Fukushima are directly owned by the Rothschild banking interests. It's not an indirect ownership. It is a direct ownership.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not worth anything right now.
Right. The other thing that GE did was they also owned GE Healthcare, one of the biggest medical device manufacturers around. So during the Obamacare legislation, they implemented a 10% levy, I believe it's about 10%, on all medical device manufacturers. Well, the ones who are not as strong as GE will be absorbed through mergers and acquisitions because of that, and that was part of the game plan.
And that's also with J.P. Morgan, you were pointing out, I was going to get to some economic news later too, but they were one of the largest recipients of these bailouts, and another was Bank of America, and they ended up taking Merrill Lynch and Countrywide as they were floundering where they didn't get a bailout. And then they finally did in the final hour after they had been absorbed by Bank of America, who we found out later from Bloomberg the whole time had been getting the secret bailout from the Federal Reserve, which divided out over $16 trillion. Bank of America getting the second largest chunk of that, Citigroup getting the largest of that. But they've been bragging about how they didn't get any bailouts, and yet they've been bailed out by the Fed, and they used the money to buy up their competition. This is how monopolies consolidate.
Right.
J.P. Morgan's no different.
And the state of Delaware is a major credit card processing center for the entire United States, of which you have the likes down there of J.P. Morgan and Bank of America. And they said we needed this bailout to keep the jobs. Okay? Well... They did keep the jobs, but they laid off over 100,000 American IT workers and replaced them with H-1B visa workers. So we see how well the bailouts worked for keeping American jobs.
Well, they also took the TARP money and spent 100% of it on bonuses for themselves.
Right.
$30 billion and $30 billion in bonuses. I mean, this is an unfathomable amount of money. I don't know how. A billion. I can't even get my head around that. And they did it right in front of us, and Obama got reelected.
Right. Well, here's the scary thing about that I see. If they got away with ripping us off for $20 trillion, why won't they take $200 trillion the next time?
I don't think there's $200 trillion to take. I don't think that even exists. You'd have to see, for them, they can make money. I think they can print it, they can digitalize it. What they want are the assets. And so through this mortgage-backed security fraud, the scheme that they did, they had a method through predatory lending and the SIVs and the rest of it of being able to seize assets which have intrinsic value, land, houses, and so on, from people, rather than just, you know, flooding them with money, which they can do at any point. It's absolutely disgusting what they did. It's the biggest financial scandal probably ever in the history of Earth. And it was some news, but that's the stuff revolutions are made of. And nothing happened. Nobody went to jail. It just blows my mind.
I actually saw that firsthand. I worked at Depository Trust Clearing Corporation around 1988 or 87 when they broke it off from Chemical Bank. That became J.P. Morgan Chase.
You worked for DTCC?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, I'm writing a book on them.
It's now called Mortgage-Backed Clearing Corporation.
Right, so, yeah.
Right. The CEO now is Jill Constantine. When I was there, it was Dennis Dirks, okay? So long story short, the SEC said to Chemical Bank, now Chase, you cannot run the trading system for mortgage-backed securities and also be a trading partner simultaneously. So the website is dtcc.org or .com. I think it's .com. And it shows that they got close to $50 quadrillion of financial assets traded through that trading system. It's bigger than most than the New York
Stock Exchange. Well, all the illegal naked short trades are going through there, and they wouldn't reveal who the recipients were. I mean, why? How can you just subpoena them or something, you know?
Yeah, and that's where Michael Milliken and the Ivan Boesky scandal happened, plus many others. It happens all the time because there's so much money there. But after we cut over the system, I was dealing with the managers from Chemical Bank, which became J.P. Morgan. A year later, written up right in the front page of the Wall Street Journal. They all went to jail for fraud. Okay, and when I was in there dealing with the technology to cut over the trading system, the mob came in, okay, and walked right past me. They went right to Dennis Dirks, the CEO, and he says, we want all the IT services contracts. And me and the other IT workers that came from small business were just thrown out on our tail within a week. So,
jeez.
What? Huh. Now, who got all the contracts for managing Depository Trust Clearing Corporation IT services? Accenture, Arthur Anderson. They ones that won the Homeland Security contracts, who mucked up Enron. And also now have the New York Stock Exchange contracts.
That's right.
Right.
They had Thomas White in there as well.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, it's right in front of your face. But the problem is, like, we get this, like, you're familiar with these people, you know, these names and things, but, and I'm trying to, as part of independent media, to disseminate this information and get it out there, but we are really fighting an uphill battle with this. And I've written things in a blog, but I think the way to go is the best medium is video. And it's a lot harder to make a movie than it is just to talk or like on radio or to write it down. But
yes,
that is what's going to reach the most people. And I'll ask you, the listeners, if you can go to ANC, like anti-neocon, report.com and pitch in $1. There are like 1,000 of you, 2,000 of you listening right now. I mean, I would be done with this film if you each would just go over and give $1. I'd be able to pay the people I need and take the time off, and we would have these things done for JFK and many other things, because video is where it's at. Me too. I'd rather watch a documentary most of the time than read, but it takes some financing to do that stuff.
I think it would take a series of movies. I don't think you could do this in one sitting.
Oh no. Well, I've done a couple already, but I'd love to do a series. But if I can get even one more out, I'll be happy. If we could get the financing, I mean, independent media is turning a corner. You can see, I mean, we're growing, and RBN's growing. I'm a sub today, but I mean, I support all of it. I got Bill Still joining my network, and we're building this, and, you know, we'll be able to compete with the sensationalists over at Jonestown and the corporate media. We're already beating them in numbers a lot of the time. We do ask for donations, but listen, it is far more expensive to lie than it is to tell the truth. I just need enough to pay some webmasters and translators and, you know, up the production value a little bit. Content, you know, guys like Art and myself and the people who are listening before, Blankford and Gates and all these. I mean, it's, you know, we've got the brain power and stuff, so please consider sending a donation. Art, if you want to hang for one more, and then after that, I definitely got to cram through some news.
Sure.
But appreciate you calling in. Hey, welcome back. This is the What Really Happened show. I'm Ryan Dawson. I am hosting now, subbing for Mike Rivero. I'll be here tomorrow as well, and he'll be back on the 20th. And I've been talking about the Mafia and JFK with our caller, Art. And Art, I'm going to keep you on to the top of the hour. I forget I had a third hour, so I got plenty of time to go through news plus tomorrow. But I went over to your website during the break, and I was looking over through the Sheldon Anderson stuff as well as the Purple Gang from Detroit and the merger with Chicago Mafia. Very interesting things over there. I recommend that to others to go see No Room for Corruption.
There's actually in the documents section, there's a 500-page report. That's where most of the work is.
Yeah, I'll read it.
Understood. Now, I mean, what it's trying to show with this is these guys are always chewing up our national assets. They're doing it on a daily basis. For instance, I showed on a website like last year, they took over the Weather Channel owned by the Brothmans, you know, as an example. This year, the big thing they're pushing is Common Core, and actually it's really the charter schools, which they started with these criminals running our politics in Pennsylvania. What happened in the city of Philadelphia is they laid off one-third of the entire labor force due to a funding shortage of $600 million, yet they're paying $670 million to the charter schools. And as a result, they didn't have enough money to finance the public schools. The charter schools, the owners of them, the corruption has been absolutely rampant in this area. Then we had Congressman Eric Cantor come here.
None of those schools, the charter schools or the public schools, should cost as much as they do. It's just that so much of the money is eaten up in administrative costs. It's not going to the teachers or supplies or anything like that. It's just being eaten up by multiple superintendents and all this other mess. I'd recommend there's a good documentary on that. It's mainly from New Jersey, not Pennsylvania, but it's called The Cartel. Look up the education cartel, folks. The teachers' unions have very little to do with teaching or teachers. It's a gambit, but they have an air of impunity. When you talk about education or the environment or something like that, you can basically do whatever you want.
Right. Well, the simple reason is the teachers' pension funds, you know, are controlled by the criminals, and as a result of that, they can control the situation.
Nearly every union is controlled by the mob.
Yeah. But the teachers' union is one of the most powerful organizations throughout the country. So I personally believe we should go back to allodial titles on real estate, and personally I believe we should go back to a tuition-based educational system. You know, why should, you know, people who are, you know, paid taxes all their lives and they get older and live on a limited income have to sell off their home and their assets just to pay school tax? I mean, that's insane, and that's what's happening in New Jersey, one of the worst places in the country for it.
Yeah, I believe they have the highest spending for that. It may be the worst place for it as well. And higher education as well. I mean, the government's giving these guaranteed loans and all that stuff. All it did was hike up tuition prices, which have absolutely no relationship to the material given to them. And we have all these people graduating who are just drowned in mountains of academic types of minutia that really don't have any world skills or know what to do, and they've got college debt for half the rest of their life.
Well, even worse yet is you got 15 to 20, possibly up to 25 million young adults, like 18 to 27, who are not working and not in school. And you go to our colleges and our universities, and you see how many are filled up with foreign immigration students. Why are we training everybody on the planet and not given the opportunities to our own people to develop these professional skills?
Yeah, of course. And also, you know, a lot of, like, for in the medical industry, you have doctors from, well, where I live in Japan or Indonesia or wherever, they get out, they don't have college debt, and that affects the prices. You know, the doctors in America, you know, the reason they're tempted for kickbacks and all that and the cost of procedure, I mean, this is all another issue with the healthcare system, but they've got massive college debt to pay and right. grad school and so on. And so, of course, it's expensive.
And the whole thing that Obamacare is going to do is it's going to destroy small business in the medical industry through a merger and acquisition of many medical practices because of what's happening with Obamacare. And that's one of the hidden agendas there, is that's like 20% of the economy of the United States, and they want to destroy it. They want
it's the number one cause of debt, our medical cost, and Obamacare doesn't address the big elephant in the room, the number one problem with American healthcare is the total cost of procedures and drugs. And instead of addressing why the total cost of procedures and drugs are so expensive when you have these for-profit insurance companies who don't want to pay you, they just fool around with the ratio of how much the government's going to pay and how much you're going to pay out of pocket instead of how much you have to pay. And they don't tackle the biggest issue whatsoever. Now they're forcing people to basically give insurance companies an interest-free loan for a year, at which time they're going to get a portion of that back at the same time that the bill for the next year comes. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a real issue here. I see that basically with respect to what's going on is the consolidation is going to severely impact. I think what's happening is you're moving the assets up to the big corporations, like you say, the insurance companies, and the corporatized medical business. And that's actually going to decrease jobs and economic growth in this country.
Well, look what they did in 2003, for example. It's like for this is for drugs, not insurance, but sometimes your insurance is supposed to be paying for these drugs. For Medicare, for example, the government regulations prevented them from negotiating the prices down for the drugs. So, of course, the drug companies who wrote the regulation probably, they can charge whatever they want, whatever the market will bear. And this is direct government intervention. Again, you know, you think it's a lot of times when there aren't any regulations that are bad, but that doesn't mean you should support regulations no matter what, because oftentimes when we finally do get a regulation from the government, it's nothing but a protectionist policy for their mercantile partnerships.
Right. And when you mentioned the cost of health care, one-third of the cost of health care is due to litigation. Having a lawyer in a family, she told me the pool is in the legal industry. One-third of it comes from medical litigation. One-third comes from family law. And everything else is the rest of it. So two-thirds of all of the legal community in the United States is for medical litigation and family law. And look how
two-thirds of all the lawyers in the world are Americans also.
Right. So two-thirds of two-thirds, which is close to half, make their living through litigation with respect to family law and to medicine. And how many people do we see in these schools going berserk and shooting up students in their own classes? And who's supposed to solve the problem? Is it the fox in the hen house?
Well, a lot of these kids are on these psychotropic drugs as well. But we got the phone lines lighting up, and I appreciate your time and enjoy your call, but I got to let some other people in here. So,
you got it. Thank you, Ryan, and have a good day.
You too. Holiday. Oh, thank you. Wes in Idaho. Are you there?
Hello. Ryan Dawson?
Yes, that's me.
I appreciate your dutiful research. I wanted to know, do you feel that a Boeing 757 or 767 crashed into the Pentagon?
Yes. Because there was a giant plane-sized hole in the first floor of the Pentagon. There were pieces of the plane still in the Pentagon. All the people on that plane died. There's DNA evidence of the victims. The parking lot was all screwed up from where the plane hit. Over 140-some people witnessed it. It flew over Northern Virginia. Everybody saw the plane go to the Pentagon. Nobody saw it fly away from the Pentagon. And the propaganda film, which is financed by an Israeli billionaire for called Loose Change, that cherry-picked all these pictures. It's, oh, man, we have a break. All right, I'll explain why right after the break. Thanks for the question, though.
Protocol.com or call 928-853-2821.
Welcome to the What Really Happened radio show. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Hey, welcome back to the third hour of the program. This is Ryan Dawson filling in for Mike Rivero today. We'll also be here tomorrow. I had a question about the Pentagon, and yes, I believe an airplane ran into the Pentagon because there is plenty of evidence of an airplane hitting the Pentagon and zero evidence of a missile hitting a Pentagon and zero motive for a missile to hit the Pentagon. Whether you believe it was actually Al-Qaeda that did it or the government, the official story version has to be that an airplane ran into the wall, and it would be absolutely retarded to swap that out with his switcheroo stuff and hit it with a missile and magically leave parts of a plane, kill everybody on the plane, make all these witnesses see a plane. But the reason that mythos got out there is because of propaganda films. We had the Pentagon Strike music video, and then you had this film called Loose Change, which got everything wrong about 9/11. It was financed by Deborah Simon, a Jewish billionaire. It was the kosher version of 9/11. And what they did on the Pentagon section of that film is, in every single photograph they used of the Pentagon, they only showed the second floor. And they always either had water spraying underneath or a car parked in the way, or they showed it so that they never showed you this giant 100-foot hole in the bottom floor. They only showed the second floor, which is this little 16-foot hole. And then they went on and on about the statistics on how large these Boeing planes were and how it could not possibly fit in this hole. Well, no duh, Sherlock. Yes, a plane cannot fit into a 16-foot hole. I don't think any engineer, physicist, or a 4-year-old would disagree with you there. The problem is, it wasn't a 16-foot hole. There was a 16-foot hole on the second floor and a big 100-foot hole on the bottom floor, which is where the plane went in. There were pieces of the plane all over the place. The columns were bent in that way. It was still there after the fact. It's not like it did not all burn up and disappear and evaporate. That is not true. There were big pieces of plane all over the place. And I just don't know why or how this myth continues. I mean, Loose Change is easy to debunk. That is just Jonestown nonsense. That's the guy that promotes all the filth on 9/11 that says the Israelis couldn't have been involved and just all this rhetoric. And he's the guy, the same guy that's promoting the earthquake machines and telling you Y2K is going to kill you and, you know, all the Hollywood living in bunkers in New Zealand and juice boxes are laced with hormones that are going to make you gay and video games control your mind and just utter nonsense. Just turn that stuff off. It's sensationalist. It's BS. That is total disinformation. These people are not that stupid. They're not idiots. It's on purpose. It's to discredit 9/11 and conspiracies in general with a bunch of hoo-ha sensationalist nonsense so that when you bring up the subject, people think you're freaking retarded because you've been associated with these David Icke lunatics to talk about space aliens and all that and Alex Jones and all his weirdo stuff. I've spent most of my life, on 9/11, I've made a big 3-hour documentary about it called War by Deception, going over serious facts and documents. And I can tell you, debunking the official story is easy to do. The biggest problem in the way, and people are afraid to infight or whatever, it is not infighting to single out disinformation and call it for what it is. My biggest problem about 9/11 is always dealing with these brainwashed people who've been listening to Jonestown for years, and you really have to sit down one-on-one and calmly go over all the disinformation they've been fed. It's really disgusting, and it's really well-financed, and they're very good at it. But yes, an airplane absolutely hit the Pentagon. We have Paul from Canada coming on.
Ryan, how are you?
Sorry. All right. 6 a.m. I'm grumpy. I've been up since 4 a.m.
That's okay. I have a little bit of a funny sense of humor myself. Just wanted to let you know that Snowden released new documents 5 minutes ago.
Really?
That the NSA has been spying on Santa Claus. Yeah, and Santa Claus has white, red, and green skin on Christmas Day. Same color as a candy cane. And this has all been released.
But, you know, I heard from these, I'm seeing these documents now. There's actually Santa Claus is there with Al Gore trying to save the polar bears.
There you go. You know, and his manufacturing center is underwater, and, oh, yeah. Meanwhile, I am here up in Canada, it's been like minus 30 for the last 3 days. Today's a little warmer there. It's minus 9, but...
it's been snowing in Egypt.
Yeah. It's like minus 22 Fahrenheit here for the last 3 days, and snowing in Egypt, like, but anyways, listen, Ryan, I share a lot of the same kind of philosophies and ideas that Mike does, and you too, by the way. I'm subscribed to your YouTube channel, and I find a lot of the stuff that you talk about is very sensible and makes a lot of sense. But what I wanted to ask you, and it's, something that's been bothering me for quite a while is, what do you think about this partnership between Greenwald and Pierre, what's his last name, Omidyar?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
PayPal CEO, and about that $250 million relationship that sprouted itself up about a month ago. And
yeah, you know, it's like I liked Glenn Greenwald's reporting for a long time. You know, a mass media guy, anyway. And you know, he's been joined. It's not just him; it's Jeremy Scahill's joined him too. And he's one of those kind of left-leaning gatekeepers with Amy Goodman. And I used to like him a lot. I think he wrote an excellent, excellent book on Blackwater. But I was quite disappointed with Dirty Wars. I mean, there's a good interview I did with Thomas Mountain about this. We touched on it. But, you know, if you're going over there and you're kind of nitpicking about this drone attack and that, and you spend all that time in Somalia and Ethiopia and Eritrea, and you're not going to talk about the millions of people dying and who are refugees and starving to death and all the corruption with USAID and all that. I mean, you would have to not mention that on purpose. I mean, and so for him to be associated in this same group, I really think Glenn might be getting taken to the cleaners here. But again, they got him right after, you know, his lover had been stopped and interrogated by the goons, you know, his boyfriend from Brazil, and they you know, he was more willing to say, oh, well, I just got this new media thing and joined right up, and so we'll see. But really, I think no matter who's paying him, Glenn Greenwald's not going to change the way he reports anything. He's doing how he always has been for the years I've been listening to him and reading him. So I don't think it is going to affect his reporting. And so I will reserve judgment for now on that matter.
Oh, thank God. Because that's what I was thinking too. Because to be honest with you, I'm very suspicious of everything myself, Ryan, and I look into things deeply. But everything that I've heard out of Glenn so far has been made a lot of sense to me too, right?
And I want to point something out, too, because they're like, why don't they just release all the documents right now? And the reason for that is because you have, as a journalist, you have to vet these. Because if you're wrong about one of them, it would discredit everything, right? And the media would be all over you. So you got to...
Oh, they'd eat you alive.
Oh, absolutely. And so you have to... trust me, I know about that. I mean, I've been attacked.
No, yeah, yeah. No, I've seen some of your interviews. They're pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, and so you got to vet everything. If you say something stupid, especially if you've been right most of the time, they'll destroy you with it. And so it takes a process. And, you know, he can't do it by himself. So The Guardian and all these other researchers are vetting out the sources and making sure it pans out. And it turns out it is. I mean, Snowden's been honest about everything so far. So they are releasing them as quickly as they can verify them. And that's why that is. And I
really
can tell you, if someone was going to pay me, I'd take the money, but I'm not going to change what I'm saying, you know?
Well, yeah, and I reserve my judgment too, because if it continues to go the way it's going now, then it's very positive. I don't care if he's getting more money, and I don't care if he gets book deals. If he stays true to helping us all out in his own way, then I'm totally happy with that. Now, another thing that I want to get from you is, what do you think of the abuse that Larry Klayman took from the mainstream media for having a judge, a judge in his favor against
Richard
the NFL?
Leon, you mean? I'm going to have to answer after the break. But the federal judge, Richard Leon, yeah. All right, we are back. I guess we got a little bit more music there, but okay, we're back. This is the What Really Happened show. I'm Ryan Dawson, subbing for Mike Rivero, and Paul from Canada had a question about Larry Klayman. Before I answer that, I think it should, or we can say who he is and what this case is about, but he basically won a case against the NSA this week, and there was a federal judge named Richard Leon who ruled in his favor, and since then, this is the guy, Larry started Judicial Watch. He's just been hounded by mass media. CNN cut his mic off. They smear him about his views on this and that, which are irrelevant to the NSA case. And they've been all over this guy. And so I believe you asked me about the treatment, what the treatment he's getting. And I would say, you know, when you're over the target, you get flack when you're over the target.
50 cals. They're pulling out all the big guns, Ryan, and they're just aiming them right at his head.
Yeah, they're trying to sink him. I mean, you saw this, like, they talk about, oh, he thinks Obama's a secret Muslim, and blah, blah, blah. I don't know if he does or not, but it sounds like a smear to me. And this is sort of reminds me of how desperate they got trying to smear Ron Paul. I mean, they actually pulled out the racist card on Dr. Paul. I mean, that man is absolutely not a racist, and I mean, didn't stick at all when they brought up the newsletters and all that. I mean,
that's
this is the kind
like
of panic mode you see the MSN get into all the time.
It didn't say, like, they tried, but it didn't stick, which was probably better for me in my soul than him actually winning the election, was that they couldn't make it stick with the racist stuff. I was so happy about that. But, like, my personal opinion is the same as yours. I sat there and watched them character assassinate him, just like they tried to do with Snowden at first. And,
yeah, they did.
Oh, yeah. And the truth
Manning.
And the truth is...
Well, Chelsea, whatever.
Yeah, and Chelsea, whatever. But the truth is that if you don't hear anything weird about them within the first 3 or 4 months after they come out, which is Snowden, nothing weird after the 3 or 4 months after he came out. Manning, nothing weird. Yeah, okay, so he's a girl, but he's a boy, so what? And,
whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Who cares? And he isn't killing people on the side, trying to hide it from people or whatever.
Exactly. He's not part of the psychopath group that had murdered over 1 million Iraqis based on a war and lies. It doesn't matter. I mean, yeah, I call it the Lewinsky effect. That's all that was. Total distraction media. It's like the Danish minister or whatever, Obama,
well,
is taking selfies at a funeral.
Klayman.
Yeah.
They're doing the same thing with Klayman. They're trying to totally divert everybody, and the judge ruled in his favor, and who cares what he's been into? He's a litigator.
Did you see his report? Because it was pretty epic for a judge, because he was talking about Madison and using words like it was Orwellian, and he's right. I mean, what the NSA is doing, tapping your phones, should be protected by the Fourth Amendment for protection of unreasonable searches and seizures. Duh. But now, you know, Pelosi and those folks can't walk around saying it's legal, because it isn't.
No. And it isn't. And his name is Richard Leon. And I can tell you one thing right now. You must have read quite a few history books, Ryan. You know?
Yeah, I have a degree in history, actually.
You know? Like, the guy read some history books, and he decided that we're going in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, it's this... The sort of justification they had with this one line out of the Patriot Act. I know there's a case for this particular case, he's talking about a case in 1979 about tapping someone's phone or whatever. But for the NSA spying, they were using a section out of the Patriot Act. And this is sort of a fig leaf justification for the NSA's insane spy program. you know, guilty until innocent. But we should be repealing the Patriot Act. You know, everyone listening, go to congress.org and type in your zip code, get your Congress critter's number, call the legislative assistant, and tell them you want to repeal the Patriot Act. Yeah. They should just be getting thousands of calls every day.
You know,
there's nothing good about the Patriot Act.
I'm reading a little bit of the his decision here, you know, and he said, like, the last ruling on this is 79, Smith versus Maryland ruling, right, and it's about Fourth Amendment privacy on right to phone numbers they call. Well, look, you know, that's a little bit old. You know, the software that's, like, I'm a programmer, eh? So the software that's available today and the database storage capabilities that are there is, so everything you do, everywhere you march, everything you've got with an RFID and any kind of conversation you have with anybody anywhere.
Plus, it's not just your calls. They're getting all your metadata. They know where you've been, where you walked, you know, everything you've ever done in any location you've ever been in, as long as you didn't yank the battery out of your phone, they have it.
That's right. And the thing is that that's not the thing that scares me. I don't mind them having these capabilities.
I do. It's a waste of money.
Well, it's a waste of money. It's a pretend industry that perpetuates itself through foreign policy. And also that, you know, we're humans. We will have ambassadors to other countries. They will interact with the officials of the other country. They will report back to us in human one-on-one terms if they have suspicions or not. We don't need to track every single individual of every country, every citizen, everywhere that walks the street.
Yeah. Well, if you look at the Petraeus scandal and other things, you can see what the NSA is really doing. Their primary job is to gather blackmail on politicians and powerful judges. And Sibel Edmonds, my old boss, she's ex-FBI translator that had a gag order placed on her. She met with John Robertson, who basically went over. He was there. You know how he knew the process of how judges are selected, and it's the ones who have the skeletons in the closet who are chosen because they have skeletons in their closet. And before all this, we had Richard Perle's data center where he's gathering dirt on everybody, and the Kushner connections, and the blackmails and the honey traps the old school way. So that's all the NSA is doing. They're not looking for terrorists. They're not looking for terrorists. And eating up all that metadata just creates an ether to where it's so overwhelming you'd never find anything anyway. You find someone who's a political dissident who you disagree with, and then they go pull their file out of the library and have everything on them. And if they don't have anything, they'll get somebody, some dirt on somebody in their family or something.
Well, sure, or 17 relatives away that keeps in contact through Facebook or something. You know, like, just...
Oh, you knew a guy, knew a guy, knew a guy, knew a terrorist, so you're going
to
get well.
Yeah. Like, that's where, you know, that's how it's coming to now. And, you know, of course, because everybody's, under, you know, their, you know, knowledge, and they know everything of every move of every official everywhere for the last 10 years, then, you know, then we all suffer for that because, you know, even if we support one of them or the other one, or we have ideologies that match this person or that person, which is not the way democracy works, Ryan. It's about, and even a republic, it's about what everybody thinks, and, you know, everybody ease up on everybody a little bit, you know, and stop, you know, getting all paranoid and freaked out about everything. And governments are not...
they're all up in our business. They're grabbing our balls
in
the airport.
They're not,
you know,
they're
looking at people's underwear.
That's right, and they're not the be-all, end-all of humanity. It's the people that are the be-all, end-all of humanity, not
the government's the exact opposite. Nobody has killed the scale more than the state. Ever. But I got a few more callers on the line, but thanks for your call and continue listening. I have Jacob in California. Go ahead, Mr. Jacob.
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, well, I'm reporting the news. We were talking about the NSA recently. Do you have a question or a comment?
First off,
I have such bad timing, man. I'll pick it up right after the break.
Okay, yeah,
sorry.
I got it.
Let the voices ring out. Let them echo into next year. Celebrate.
nice little song there. Okay, now the break is finished. Thank you for holding on. This is the What Really Happened show, usually with Mike Rivero. I am substituting today. This is Ryan Dawson of ANCReport.com, and I'll be filling in tomorrow as well. We've been talking about, we talked about JFK for a while, the NSA, and we have Jacob from California on the line. What's on your mind?
I was going to say before the break, this network is great, by the way, RBN. But if for anyone listening in, you should really follow what Ryan Dawson does with, like, serious interest. Because, like you pointed out, independent news media is, like, really important nowadays. And with the Internet, like, trying to be more and more constricted and controlled, I think it's really important that, like, what you do specifically is, like, pushed out there for people just to, like, grab on to, because, like I said, they're going to start censoring, like, more and more of your stuff because, you know, I mean...
I had a YouTube video about the floods in Gaza censored 2 days ago, actually.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. I mean, that's just, like, one video, but soon, I mean, like, the more notoriety you get, I mean, like, this is just going to explode because they don't have a monopoly on the Internet. I mean, they're trying to, obviously. I mean, I sent you that... Google debit card. I mean, it's like it's just getting really bad. I mean, like, just how things are getting more controlled. I didn't watch that video on YouTube about the Afghanistan hearing, but I watched the I heard the excerpt like an hour ago, and it really doesn't surprise me that, like, our government
None of that was on TV.
They don't know, like, what's happening at all in their own government, you know, like,
they don't care. But they were there to sell another war or to continue it for 5 years. But we're fighting back. I mean, the reason I'm on this program today, I mean, Mike Rivero and I just network together, and I will do the same for someone else on my show. I'm always willing to give someone a voice or give my voice or help out. I mean, independent media, we all need to help each other. I think there's sort of entrenchment for some. They're all little individuals with their own little sites. For me, at least, the whole purpose of why I do this at all is justice. And it's better served when we work together than people trying to hoard traffic or whatever. I don't know what the reason
is. I don't know what it is about older people in general, but they have this, there's, like, the stigma that, like, young kids and, like, people in their 20s are, like, overly idealistic and things like that. But, like, you know what? It's like, I think there's, like, a gray area, like a common ground we can all agree on. It's like, okay, we can't, like, fix...
Well, idealism is what pushes the boundaries of practicality, what we all think of as acceptable and could actually be implemented. You have to have those outside that reaching way above what's actually possible, because that actually expands what is possible.
I mean, yeah, and that, like, you know... it's kind of trippy. Like, my dad, you know, grew up during, like, you know, the 60s and 70s, and when he was in high school and going to college and stuff. And, like, is bad as, like, the hippie movement was, and how selfish it all is. Like, I understand, like, the idea of, like, expanding our consciousness and, like, pushing ideas forward, because it's like, you can't, okay, we understand that we can't get rid of, like, every greedy person ever, or, like, every warlord. There's always going to be, like, problems to, like, you know, counter what you're doing, and there's always going to be negativity towards something, like, being forward-thinking and stuff, and, like, I totally understand that. But like I said, it's like, there's a gray area. We can stop all this, all the BS, you know, like, all the lying and deception, and put the information out there so people can... like, look at the difference. They can watch something like Fox News.
Well, people, you're making a good point there about war, because people say, well, war's always been around since ancient times, and the only thing that changes is the level of technology. But I would say yes, but that's because they've always had a monopoly on press. Each war is always started by deception. And because of the Internet and the way we're able to disseminate information so much faster now, we may finally be a point in human history where we can prevent war. For every war that's been started, they've also been stopped. And we've always had the peace movement, too, pushing to end wars and stop pointless slaughter. And there are the vast majority of Earth has not had a war in many, many centuries.
And I know how, like, movements can be, like, appeased and, like, taken and commercialized and stuff like that, like, you know, Alex Jones and sensationalized, and I get all that, and, like, but I just think that, like, if people had the information and they could, you know, think, because people are smart, and I think that if they're given the information, they can decide for themselves, because one is genuine, and you're talking about facts, and they're like, wow, I didn't know this was happening, this is really disgusting, and then you look at, like, Fox News, where it's all, like, you know, rainbows and flowers and, like, you know, these talking heads, and they won't talk about anything. They're scripted, and they're, like...
The women and the men wearing makeup, reading talking points?
Yeah, it's not even, like... I mean, I'm not going to go into a rant about makeup, but, like, I understand, like, the need for, like, presentation and stuff, but, like, it's just so, like, fake, and, like, they don't... It's just, like, they don't care about you. The whole fair and balanced thing, it's just a lie. Like, your whole website, and for anyone listening, you know, anti-neocons, the ANCReport.com. Yeah, that all of that, neoconservatism, like, you know, like, even right and left politics in themselves are, like, a lie. They don't work. It's just a stage for people to, like, you know, pretend like they're making a difference, but really, like you said, they're just changing hands, and this has been happening,
yeah, it's
forever.
Yeah, it's like pro wrestling, kind of. I mean, it's a real false paradigm, left and right, but they... What they do, the left wing of imperialism and the right wing of imperialism brand themselves to different demographics. And so the left is a little bit better at selling itself to different demographics within society and the right to others, but they're really just selling the same brand. Yeah. It's just like bottled water. Bottled water is water. And, you know, Evian went after the athletes, and Perrier went after the posh people or whatever, and they would associate with the commercial of, yes, I'm a little like a debutante, whatever. I'm going to drink my Perrier from a green bottle, and, oh, yeah, I'm an athletic person, so I'm going to have Evian. And then they had just different sectors of who they're going after. Coke started going after Bernardi's and so on. So you just see that. It's water. It's water. It's usually tap water.
Yeah.
They branded themselves, and it worked. Because those segments of society were buying the brands that were in the commercials targeted to them. So that, I think, bottled water is a perfect example of that mess. And that's how politics works a lot of the time with leftists and rightists.
Well, that's like, there's actually a film that came out. It's an independent film called Branded, about, like, it's kind of like a sensationalized film where, like, the ad agency is, like, literally, like, this monster only he can see and things like that. And it's a pretty interesting movie, because it dives into, like, how...
Do you know the name of the movie?
Yeah, it's called Branded. It came out in 2010. And it's a pretty interesting movie. But what's interesting is, like, it kind of goes into the history of how, like, propaganda and ads work. And it's just fascinating to learn how, like, consumerism... I mean, now, even with the internet, see, they push this, like... With everything being so, like, you know...
Well, a lot of,
like,
consumerism is based on breaking down your self-worth and replacing it with products that can improve you there.
Right,
exactly. I had to let you go in a second, because I have another caller coming on, and I have some news to cram through, too. But do you want to make a final point for us?
No, just... yeah, I mean, yeah, we could talk about this for
we'll
hours,
recommend that Branded, and... yeah, call back anytime. I'm on the show tomorrow, and enjoy it. I'm glad we have young listeners. I think the youth is where it's at. John in Tennessee, not Texas, I'm sorry, in Tennessee. Thank you for waiting.
Hello, Ryan.
Hello there.
A couple things I want to touch on. First of all, to the previous caller, you've got a mind. God gave you a mind. Fire your synapses. Don't trust images given to you with a video or a movie, even if you think it's good. Use your mind. Come to your own conclusions. Before I get to what I'm going to say, don't believe anything that I'm going to say, although I believe it to be true. Try to prove me wrong, and then you'll come to a conclusion that you can live with.
Yeah, it's always good to try and falsify things, because if you can't, it might be true. But just don't take anything based on faith alone.
Right, so... do your own research. Anyway, some interesting words. I've been on RBN for about 10 years as a caller, 8 years, 9 years. And people that hear me know I love words. They're important. They mean things. And when you change the tone or the inflection, you change meaning. So here's some examples, and then I'll get to what the meat of what I called about. You're talking about government. Government, people, is a compound word. It's govern, meant. And if you look at govern means to control, M-E-N-T is where we get the first part of mentality. So it is to control the mind. I'm not anti-government, don't get me wrong, as long as the government is leading you in the right direction and they're not set about to destroy and to enslave. So there's good government, good mind control if you
want. Well, I'm hearing the music, John, but you can hold through the break if you like. Nice. Okay, so we are back. This is the What Really Happened show. The number to call in is 800-313-9443. We had John in Tennessee. You were talking about the power of words and government and mind control, and you weren't completely against government. But I don't want to be a jerk or anything, but we do have to speed along because I got to cram through a story in the next 15 minutes. But
all right,
tell us. But it's okay.
Tell us what
you're getting at.
Couple other words real quickly. Invalid. Well, you're in a wheelchair, you're homebound, you're an invalid. Well, are you invalid or are you, in their eyes, invalid? Uniformed military, uniformed police. Are you one form, uniformed, or are you one formed, uninformed?
Soldier?
Yeah, and when you become a policeman that understands what's going on, they let you put on real clothes and they call you detective. The Patriot Act, providing America tools required to intercept and obstruct terrorism, written months in advance of 9/11. And who turns out to be the terrorists that they talk about when they mention the Patriot Act? The American people. Isn't it interesting that the Patriot Act also allows drones like the DARPA drone, which, you know, the Argus drone, the autonomous real-time ground ubiquitous surveillance system where they can actually surveil, store, and watch you from 15,000 feet for 15 square miles and store the information and recall it at a future date. Isn't it amazing that we really are living in Orwellian society? We are in a police state. We are under surveillance. But yet, the ones
that are shooting people, but the ones that are spying on people, which you can never see.
It's biblical, man. They have made this thing. This DARPA drone is really bothering me because they've made this thing all-seeing, all-present, all-knowing, and given it the ability, according to what Obama has to say, to take you out with a missile strike. You know, they've made this thing all-powerful, all-present, and all-knowing. All-seeing eye in the sky. And yet,
it's like the drones is fictional, but from the movie Oblivion, they just swoop down and shoot people when they want. You look at how they play with words to get around the law, like you're not allowed to torture a POW, a prisoner of war, but if you don't call him a prisoner of war, you just say he's an enemy combatant, then you can torture him, but it's not torture, it's advanced interrogation technique, so it's perfectly legal.
Listen to what they're telling you in Washington. It was on John Stattmiller's broadcast yesterday. Talking about Nancy Pelosi telling someone you got to embrace the suck. I mean, these people are sick, man. They're sick. Look at their eyes. The eyes really are the window to a man's soul.
They're true psychopaths. You look what they're doing. It's just murder and theft to scale. It's unbelievable. It's not just the U.S.
Don't believe anything that I say. Just go to prove me wrong. That's what I did, and your eyes will open up, and you go, wow, man, we really are in the Wizard of Oz. We really are not in Kansas
anymore. Police state isn't just coming. It's here, and it's been here.
It's absolutely.
I mean, the cops, story today, they threw a couple in jail for a month. They've been sitting a month for homemade soap because the cop did a field test and decided it was cocaine, and then the lab test came back finally and said, no, it actually is homemade soap. But they sat in jail anyway because they couldn't afford bail because the bail was set at $5,000 or $500,000, excuse me, half a million. So
all
they
right.
just had to sit and waste their life for a month. But thanks for the call, John.
And take care.
Cops, I'm not going to be able to get into my police story with 8 minutes left. So what I'm going to do with the remaining time is just sort of touch on some things that I'll be talking about tomorrow some things I wanted to at least mention. My friend, Syrian girl, that's not her name, but she remained anonymous, but she had her Twitter suspended, and I promised her I'd mention that today. And the reason was, of course, she was talking about Syria, but she's talking about these leaks that tell us what we already know. I mean, you listeners to RBN already knew this with the infamous gas attacks in Syria, which were blamed on the government, acting as a pretext to hammer down on them. Of course, it was from the rebels, and it was supplied to them from the usual channels, the Turks, the Saudi Arabians, GCC monarchy, petro monarchies down there. But these journalists had leaks proving they knew about it. The Russians came out today. And again, I know we all knew about this, but it's a big step for the authoritarians to be admitting it finally. And the Russians were saying, too, just like the previous two times when the rebels got caught using gas, this time was the same. And, I mean, the UN is down there to inspect the second gassing, which it did conclude came from the rebels. And then there's a third gassing right in front of them. And it all got blamed on Assad. And you had the Boltons and McCains and all them on the free corporate news network all repeating the same lie over and over again until it was believed. And, well, it wasn't even believed because the American people did stand up and say, no, we're not going to shoot missiles into Syria. But they're being carved up now by these Wahhabi Salafi groups who have totally taken over the FSA as bad as they were. They're worse now because they're completely beholden to Al-Qaeda. And the U.S. is aiding them. They're giving them non-lethal aid now because Turkey's been giving them over like 67 tons of weapons. And the U.S. is providing them with training and money. It's another proxy war. Absolutely disgusting. So we'll talk about Syria a lot more tomorrow. I got to mention the floods in Gaza. I put a video up on YouTube. It got rejected, because of the content. They said because of the time length, but I have videos over 15 minutes all the time. It's just when you get on certain subjects that it gets censored. But Gaza Strip right now is underwater and flooding with sewage. And that's because of Israel's, and this is man-made. I mean, the rain's not man-made, but they're not able to treat their sewage because they have a gas shortage. They can't run the electricity needed. Oh, this is so sad. They can't run the electricity for their sewage treatment center. And so they actually have a river of doo-doo, because they can't say the fecal matter, let's say. It smells like John McCain, if you don't know what it is, and it's brown and wet. All over their houses, all over, it's like a river all over in Gaza, and these poor kids are getting skin diseases and they're abandoning their homes. I mean, these people have been abused so badly. You know, house demolitions, the Israelis blow up their homes, they put them in checkpoints, they steal their water, they burn their farms, they uproot their trees, and now they're actually literally waiting around in their own waste because they don't have enough gasoline to run their sewage treatment facility. I don't know how much more these people can put up with, like these poor people, these poor kids especially, growing up like that. And no one's helping them. And yet they send $3 billion in aid to Israel, which is an absolutely racist state. It's beyond apartheid. Apartheid, at least you're using the underclass for labor or something like that. The Israelis don't want to use the Palestinians for labor. They want them gone. They want them dead. They want them out of there. And they have state-sponsored colonization of the West Bank. Openly, you know, Jewish-only homes, Jewish-only roads. It's just utterly preposterous. And I do want to talk about the floods some more tomorrow, too. There was a coup which failed in South Sudan, but it still ended up with a lot of people murdered in Africa, and I want to talk about that. There's the bitcoins going up to 1,200 and then dramatically falling back down to 500. They lost more than half of their worth because of government policies from the communist government in China. I'll be explaining some more of that, and I have a humorous video from Peter Schiff. He called it again. He had a debate / discussion with Stefan Molyneux and Peter Schiff mentioned a scenario like this, and that's exactly what happened. There's good news out of Iceland. They threw the bankers in jail. I'll be explaining that story. Also, four bankers are going to go to jail. Two of them got 5-year sentences, and two more 3-year sentences. And this is really good news that once again, Iceland showing us how it ought to be done and paving the way and showing what we could do. But in America, of course, bankers don't go to jail. Bankers get bonuses, not only from the Fed, but also from you. They're just laughing at you. They probably stole your house. So we'll get more back into that. NSA, Japan, Iceland, SIBS, AA readings, Gaza floods, Syria, and a lot more news tomorrow. Thank you for listening. See you tomorrow.